Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast, the Legacy Growth Series. I'm Melinda Lee. When you're leading a company and growth isn't moving as fast or as consistently as it should, then I'm so glad you're here because this series is just for you. Because most organizations don't have a strategy problem. They have a communication alignment problem. At Speak and Flow, we believe that communication isn't just a soft skill. It's also how your company grows. In this series, we're going to talk through what actually drives that growth, how your team aligns around direction, how execution actually happens, how leaders show up when it matters most, and how all of this scales across the organization. So your company just doesn't work harder or rely on you. It moves together. Let's get started. Welcome, dear listeners, to the Speak and Flow podcast, the special Legacy Growth Series. In our last episode, we talked all about alignment and what true alignment means. And often, even when teams are aligned, execution breaks down, and then this is where accountability comes in. So today we have an expert. He's a fractional CRO. He's a head of sales. So he's been a sales leader for many decades. He's seen it when companies work and when companies fail. He's developed a lot of these go-to-market strategies for many of the companies, technology companies, to either get acquired or go public. And so I'm so happy to introduce Chris Stervants. Hello, Chris.
Hey there. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, it's so good to connect again. I'm excited to dive into our conversation around accountability. And what does, so before we dive in, there's a busy leader out there, CEO, and he or she or this person has stopped to listen to this episode. If they take into consideration everything that we've talked about, or at least one thing, what do you hope could change in their lives?
Well, hopefully it'll clarify a little bit about their day-to-day behavior. Like that people get stuck in habits and things that they don't realize that they're actually doing sometimes because it's just the easiest path, or they're just overly busy, which is probably the number one cause of issues in this area today. And if there's just a couple like a simple techniques or tricks that they can use on a regular basis to help clarify some of those things, it'll definitely help them.
Yeah, isn't that so true? We're so busy. And then so just to talk to even think about accountability, what that means can be huge. And so before we dive into that, can you share for the audience? I'm so excited to get into the meat of it. But then it's like, let's give the audience what do you do and what excites you most about what you do?
Great. So so after 30 odd years being a sales leader in startup companies, VP of sales, CRO kind of thing, built a bunch of companies from sub 1 million to double digit millions. So I've gone through multiple growth stages. The biggest team I ever led was about 120 folks with two levels of management. So, you know, all those little stops along the way, right? But the I've basically gone to my second career kind of transitioning in a fractional CRO practice. And so what I do today is I basically am coaching first-time founder CEOs. And so I currently have seven clients, six of them. We do standing weekly one-hour coaching sessions where they get to bring the biggest problems, challenges, burning questions to the table every week and get another set of eyes on those. And then we're at the same time, we're kind of slowly, gradually installing the foundational sales and go-to-market processes so they can start to scale later. And so I do that with six today. And then I've got one true fractional CRO client where I'm a head of sales and I'm managing three salespeople for them.
How lucky are they to have your wealth of knowledge on their eyes at the
Well, I think they're really lucky, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree, because it's important to install these systems before it starts to get unwieldy. And same thing with communication. So that's what we're going to dive into today. So let's think about accountability. You've seen companies that have made it and companies that have broken down. And when it comes to accountability, why is it a struggle sometimes for leaders that are even seasoned and experienced?
I think the number one culprit is again the overly busyness thing, right? Especially for startup companies and CEOs that are first-time founders, in that they're doing a little bit of everything. They're learning as they go. They've never seen the movie, right? And so a lot of mistakes get made, and sometimes they're really avoidable. And but they bump into some real challenges later when they start to expand and like, okay, the business is bigger than I can handle by myself. I need to bring in some new people. Who do you hire? How do you transfer those responsibilities to the new people that you've hired? Right. And I try to describe it to the founder CEOs as like, in the beginning, you're the all, but you start to kind of carve off pieces of your world into people that are specialists that are better at marketing than you or better at building than you or whatever. But where are those lines, begin and end? What are their responsibilities? What is their scope? What is their capacity to make decisions and things in terms of spending and hiring and firing? And when do they need to bring those things back to the CEO founder for approval? And what you don't want is to micromanage their every action. So the key is to give them that clarity of vision. This is what your mission is. These are the resources that you have available. These are kind of like the boundaries we're going to put around it. And other than that, go crazy and we'll check in periodically. Come to me if you have a problem, right?
So you think that they don't define them from the get-go is because they're just busy. They're
Yeah,
really
frequently,
busy.
yeah. Yeah, it's just ill-defined, like and this happens a lot with the first sales hire, right? They'll be like, wow, I don't have the capacity to be the only salesperson and still run the company. Gonna hire my first salesperson. And they might be anywhere from a junior SDR all the way up through like a CRO senior person. But then they're still like dipping in and their hands are in stuff. And it's like, well, if we clearly define, what your scope is and who's going to own what, then we can be accountable to each other. We can always ask each other for help, but as long as we're within our lanes and getting our stuff done and just checking in regularly, there shouldn't be any meddling or anything, right? And that's one of the big challenges that I find founders in particular with their first companies is to kind of gradually get their hands out is a challenge.
Or they're not even in it too much because they're doing so many things.
Yeah.
So it's both, right? And how do you know when when it starts to get unwieldy, when it starts to become a pattern that people are not holding each other accountable, people don't know what they're doing? Like, what are some of the patterns that you see before it gets too late?
Well, the first indicator usually is the company starts missing its numbers, right? And it's not necessarily a sales failure, but it's a team effort to go get those new clients and everything. And that's when you start to see some potential either finger pointing or blaming, potentially like, oh, well, marketing's not giving us any good leads, or and Joe didn't do a good job in this one opportunity that we gave him was so tremendous, and all these kinds of things. So again, absolutely clear expectation setting and a regular cadence for check-in. And I find that a quarterly kind of reset on all the bigger goals and objectives and what the measurements are going to be is a good idea, because at startups in particular evolve so quickly that they're radically different companies 90 days later every time. And it's really a series of experiments, and you sprint for 3 months and then you kind of figure out, okay, this worked, this didn't work, we'll make these adjustments. What's a realistic set of targets for the coming quarter? And what changes are we going to make to the things that didn't work last quarter, right?
Do you find, and how does the communication play a part of it? Do you find that sometimes a leader avoids the tough conversations?
Yeah, you do see that. And I think it's human nature. People generally want to be nice and friendly to each other, even when there's a problem or someone is failing. And as a senior leader, you're trying to be supportive, but you also need to bring the structure and discipline to the same relationship. And if they do start to fail, it's our job to make sure that they understand this was our expectation. This is what you're delivering today. There's a gap here. What can we do together to get you back on track? And it starts out with conversations. And if you hold those on a pretty regular basis and you don't see improvement, usually at some point you're either going to change their role or change that person out, or put them on some sort of a written performance plan so that it's black and white and they can't not understand it any further. But a lot of it comes back again to clarity of expectations, and then regularly checking in and kind of keeping score on what's being delivered, right?
And when you like talk about clarity of expectations, like you said, it's so huge because a lot of times when the CEO or executives are busy, it becomes more challenging, especially in a small, middle small, because everybody's doing everything.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
exactly.
then so like to have it clarified and then also somewhat flexible too because things are changing, right? So how do you, yeah, that's a part of it.
So the roles that I've primarily been involved in have been either running the sales org or running kind of all the go-to-market, so sales, marketing, and customer success. And in each of those, it's important to have an actual written plan that's got measurable objectives by period. And we agree to those as an executive team. And sometimes that team is just like the CEO and me, and maybe a fractional CFO who's keeping score with the money. But we build a business plan out, and then we have to execute over the course of the year and hit the numbers. And so each of the functions has got its own set of requirements and measurements that they have to hit. So on the sales side, it's one of the easier ones to measure. It's more black and white because at the end of the day, like, how much revenue did we book? It's very, they could do a lot of activity, but sales is kind of more a results measurement. But there are certain pipeline metrics and things like that that you can look at as well around activity. But on the marketing side, it's a little fuzzier. But again, you can get very concrete. Like your mission as a marketing person or team is to refresh the website this quarter and deliver 50 qualified leads based on the criteria we've jointly agreed to, and things like that. And so, again, during the course of the quarter, how are we doing versus plan? Are we on track to get the website up by the end of the quarter? You know,
Yeah.
those kinds of things. So, yeah.
How much is it that well, do you talk to them about the have the accountability before even the numbers? Because by that time, okay, you're seeing the numbers have dropped. Is that too late to have the accountability discussion? Like what
Not
happened?
really. So
No.
accountability, yeah, comes up in the beginning in the planning process when you're
Yeah.
agreeing to what is the plan and
Yeah.
what, because in startup land, it's our nature to be extremely ambitious with the targets.
Yeah. Yeah.
The BHAGs and the stretch goals and whatever goes for the easy number, right? And sometimes they're not realistic, right? So you've got to have that conversation before the period about what is realistic given where we are at this moment with the resources that we have available and people. What can we achieve realistically within 90 days? And you have kind of like a low, mid, and high range of expectations. And you want to build your business plan on the spend side to the low, and you want to put your expectations for goal setting on the high and hope you land somewhere in the between. And so you don't run out of money and you're growing the business. But that's usually well, it's always a mutual conversation between CEO, the exec team, whatever size that is, and then their board typically to make sure that everyone agrees to that. And so accountability really kind of begins during that dialogue. And then once it's documented, everyone has to agree to the plan. So there's your kind of like, okay, you are now accountable for exactly these things.
Yeah.
And then again, you have this dialogue every week or a month throughout the quarter. But again, what we'll find is sometimes is that when someone is failing, a CEO won't want to address that because it's uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
It's easier to kind of let it go and hope it'll fix itself, which occasionally
Or
works.
say certain things that are just kind of sim like at the top, like not so really the core of the issue. They're just brushing over it. Like, oh, I told them, but it's brushing over it.
So, there was a book that you and I actually discussed, I think last time we were on, called Traction. And one of the elements of that is when they talk about the problem solving methodology. And so they recommend that on a weekly basis, the management team gets together exclusively to discuss and solve problems. And they first list out all the big problems, and then they put them in order of priority, and they get as far as they can in 1 hour. And they can't leave one until they've put a solution in place with an owner for each part of the solution, right? So that's another version of, I think, really kind of really crisp and structured accountability that you don't see in too many companies.
Where all the minds come together to problem solve and you go through one at a time. And so you're doing it together, create, and so it's like everybody is a part of it. And part of
Exactly.
the problem, part of the solution. And so, and I love that. And so what about Does it work when you start to instill fear in people if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing? How do we, does that work?
That's a good
How do
question.
we
I've
stop?
actually worked for a few CEOs that so they say that the whole motivation of a leader is a carrot and stick combination, and some people tend to be heavier with the stick than they are with the carrot.
And it
I find
works for some
that
companies, I
yeah, it's not a great culture. People start to get kind of numb to the stick after a while, and they just think, wow, this person's really kind of a jerk, and they start to tune them out, right? Just if everything is stick all the time, then after a while it just is not effective, right? And
Yeah.
culture of fear, the other thing that happens is you find that people spend more time worrying about what's going on than actually doing their jobs, so that it defocuses them off the task, and they start freaking out about when the next time the big stick's going to come out versus like what they could do to sell more stuff or get their stuff done, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, how productive is that when you're constantly worried about when is the next
Yeah.
stick going to come, and then am I going to mess this up, and then they second guess themselves. So that doesn't work. I mean,
Yeah.
I've been in companies where people actually stay, and but I don't know. They don't look very happy, put it that way.
Yeah. Well, you find that people are burning a lot of mental and emotional energy just to handle the negativity. And it, even if nothing ever actually happened, that uncertainty leads to, a lower performance level because their brain is off in these negative thoughts, right?
And I think that goes back to, like, as a leader, we have to ask ourselves what kind of culture we
Yeah.
want to bring into the company. What is that culture? Yeah, if that's the culture that you want, then, that's something that works for some people. And some, if that's not the culture that you want, we have to really think about that. When someone is not performing or not doing what they're supposed to be doing, how can we instill the accountability for themselves without the fear? What do you think? Are there some tips that you can, you
Well, I
talked about
think,
the problem solving as a team, which is great.
yeah, and it's true with the first line manager and their doers as well. It's at the beginning of the period, you've got to get buy-in from all parties that what they're being asked to do is achievable, right? If you set a target and everybody in the room's like, there's no way we're going to hit that, then you're already lost, right? Good luck. So there needs to be buy-in. The individuals that you're tasking with the specific things that, if they need help, support, or tools that they don't have today, you ask them, like, do you have the things you need to be successful? And if not, let's talk about what they are. And if we can, we're going to provide those. And if we can't, maybe we need to adjust the target, right? But at the end of the day, the person that has to go execute has to believe that they can achieve it and that they have the resources that they need and support to go hit those targets, right?
I mean, yeah, just so giving them all the systems and the structure to help motivate them, to help them to achieve their goals, provides that accountability for themselves and for you to also say, hey, I've given you everything that we've talked about, the structures, the systems, and then having those honest conversations at that point.
One of the other things that I found really is helpful is I like to do weekly check-ins with all the folks that are my direct reports. And one of the things that we'll do is we'll go through kind of a status update. We'll talk about any big hairy issues or wins or just the good stuff and the bad stuff. But at the end of it, I always ask at the end, what can I do to help you? What can I do? Can I take something off you? Something I can do for you? Something I could do with you? And I tell them, come armed to the meeting with your requests. There is no that I don't need any help and I continue to fail is not a good combination because you can't win. So if you're having a problem, make sure that you ask for help on that specific issue. You may not know the solution, but ask for, me to help you and we'll figure out what we can do.
Especially if this is something that has to do with your goals, your incentives, and your pay. Yeah, you definitely want to remove all the obstacles and be honest and have those conversations.
Yep, exactly.
And yeah, not be afraid to look dumb or look like you don't know. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
better.
that's one of the other benefits of asking the question, even if they don't necessarily have a specific proposal or anything, is they feel like they're being heard, right? Which is a big deal for people.
I love what you're saying, because you said, hey, bring it to me, bring the questions, just to
Yeah.
open up that dialogue and open up that channel. It's a big thing, so people could feel heard.
Yep, exactly. And then when they ask you for something and you agree to help them with that, now you're accountable to go execute and deliver on that, right? So it's again, that's that mutual accountability thing. But it's there's a thing that's it's similar, but it's in terms of structure, which is delegation of tasks,
Yeah.
right? It's a lot like that. And that's like reverse delegation back to a manager where
Yeah. I love
you're my
that.
rep and you want me to help you. But anytime you've asked or someone else has agreed they're going to execute something for you, make sure both of you know exactly what it is that's going to get done and on what time frame and by who, right? And that's the way you have to clearly delegate. Sometimes folks, especially in startup land, they're running so hard. Like, oh, Bob can do this. Hey, Bob, take care of the thing, would you? Yeah, okay, I'll take care of the thing. And
Yes.
that's as specific as they get.
Yes.
And Bob does a bunch of stuff, but when it comes back, it's not what the CEO is looking for or expecting. Oh, Bob, you totally screwed this up. What happened to the thing? Oh, I did the thing. And that's where you get your big issues. So, real clarity of expectations and specifics, timing, who, what, when is critical.
And so would you say for a CEO out there who wants to improve building accountability within the firm, accountability as a culture, what would that one shift be?
I think the big shift is to slow down long enough to make sure that both parties on either end of these kind of conversations are on the same page. So you may have to spend some time documenting stuff, which seems like a waste of time sometimes. We already talked about it. Why would I write it down? The good news is today with all these AI bots and things, you can record all your conversations and have it spit the notes out and you can just review that and be done. So that's like a 2 minute exercise. Here were the action items, right? Oh, hey, we never put a date on this one, or it wasn't clear who owned this one. That's really some of the key things that you can do. Take the time, make sure both people are exactly on the same page.
Yeah, that's the you said the right like no hit it on the nose, like slow down, take the time, because it's easier said than done, because you're saying that if we want to have this culture of accountability, sometimes we don't slow down. We could just say, hey, let's document things, or but we don't, we document it and we forget. But like, to build a culture actually takes a time to establish the habit. And so as the CEO, you got to do it yourself multiple times. Someone told me one time, CEO is also CRO, Chief Reminding Officer. So you're constantly reminding and practicing and putting into practice what you want the company to behave and how to behave. Yeah. So I think, again, like you said, accountability is being very clear with the expectations. What do we want? Being specific, putting a time frame to it, but then also repeating it again and again, because we get sidetracked. There's a lot of changes, a lot of things happening. And so I think slowing down to have that be instilled is so important.
Yep, absolutely.
And so when, this is my last question, when companies treat communication as systems, like there's standards for communicating, standards for holding people accountable, standards for the outcomes that we want, what is possible?
That's a great question. So, in early stage companies, it's always a fine balance between over-engineering too soon and not having enough process.
Exactly.
It's a very fine line,
A
right?
very fine
And
line.
so I would say that, what's possible is a lot like, going back to, again, that book Traction, where the concept is they have built what they called an entrepreneurial operating system, which is an actual process for each part of the business. And it had like weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual, and 3 year cadences to it, right? And there were certain expectations and activities that were planned for, measured, and executed on in each of those periods. You can take the fear out of it. When someone is failing at something, they'll know that they're failing, but they'll be mid-cycle and they can come to their manager or their team and go, "Hey, I'm failing at this, and this is what I'm seeing. This is what we expected to happen, and this is where we're at today," and those kinds of things. And it's more of collaborate with me so that we can win versus like, I'm going to hide this mistake from everybody so I don't look bad, which is a pretty common behavior, especially in a heavy stick culture environment, right? People make a mistake, they're just hoping no one else notices and they can recover and get in front of it before they get in trouble or get yelled at or whatever. So, what's possible again is more of kind of a, I call also refer to it as a frictionless environment where, there's always going to be some friction between people, but you minimize that as much as possible in terms of the things you can't control, which is business process, and ownership and accountability and those kinds of things.
I love that. You're right. So with the accountability, with the process, when we can have those in place, you're going to minimize, because there's friction everywhere. So you're going to minimize the friction with the people.
Yep,
At least,
exactly.
yeah, I love that. I love that. That's a great way to look at it. Yes, because that's going to be so much easier to move forward and become successful when you have the people with less friction.
Exactly.
Right, Chris. And so if there's when there's an organization, a company, a startup right now who's looking for some go-to-market strategies or CRO support, how can they reach you?
Okay, very good. So I can be reached at chris@scaleupacceleratorgroup.com. So just like no hyphens or anything, just the word scaleupacceleratorgroup.com. That's my specialty, is to take people from startup to scale up.
Love it, love it. And I reach out to Chris. He knows so much, and we've connected multiple times. And not only does he have all the strategies, but he also is a great person to just build your team, build with the people, talk to the people. And so thank you so much, Chris, for your time.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was fun to chat again.
It was very fun. And thank you, listeners, for being here. Until next time, even though we have alignment, accountability, and sometimes the CEO is still there, or is still the bottleneck. And so that's going to be our next series. Part of the series is where the cost of founder dependency within a company. And so hope to see you on the next episode. Take care. Bye bye. Bye, Chris.
Bye now. That's a great next topic you got.
Strong organizations just don't work harder. They move together with clarity and purpose. When your leaders align around vision and revenue, they communicate with credibility, they create an accountability system for execution, and build a culture where this communication is consistent, something powerful happens. Momentum builds. Not because your leaders are trying harder, but because everyone understands how to move in the same direction. It's a beautiful thing. And that is what the Legacy Growth System is designed to do. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's purposeful. It's intentional. And if you're curious how your organization currently operates, I've created a reflective diagnostic tool. It will help you see so much more clearly of what is happening inside. It's called the Communication Dynamic Profile, and it reveals how your organization moves from vision to execution and how the alignment flows and where it may be breaking down. You can access it in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening to the Speak and Flow podcast, the Legacy Growth Series. Until next time, keep speaking with clarity, confidence, and flow.